It's the Podfathers Thanksgiving edition. It's brought to you by 5-4 Club. Just because you're a dad doesn't mean you got to look whack every time you leave the house. I know it's easy. I know it's easy to just give up on style and fashion. You got much bigger fish to fry. You got a lot more things to worry about. It's easy to just walk out of the house looking like a slob and a bum. But come on, man. You want to look fresh. You want to look cool. You want to look cool for your kids, you know? That's where 5-4 comes in. They're going to simplify the whole process of staying stylish and getting nice clothes. You sign up at 54club.com. You create a style profile, meaning you put in your size and your fashion preference. And about every month, they're going to send you a box with a couple pieces of clothing that's new and updated, but maybe not too fashion forward. If you're more classic, you're going to tailor it to exactly what you like. So you're going to have new clothes showing up every single month for you to pop on, head out, look cool, and be a fresh husband, fresh dad. So go to 54club.com now. Use the promo code PODFATHERS, and you're going to get 40% off your first package and a pair of Clubmaster sunglasses, which are worth $75. So once again, go to 54club. That's FIVEFOUR club.com. Use the promo code PODFATHERS. Get 40% off your first order and a $75 pair of sunglasses. Let's do it.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
It's KFC, Dikembe Mutombo, and Uncle Chaps here for another edition of The Podfathers. We are on episode 6, which means it is now getting into the winter months, and we are now getting into the holiday season, specifically Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there this week. I think that Thanksgiving is like the official kickoff of the true holiday season. I know people want to get their Starbucks cups going early. People want to get that Christmas music going in like August these days. I think you got to wait until Thanksgiving. You can start up the Christmas movies. You can do 25 Days of Christmas on ABC Family. You can get the music going, get the fireplace going, hot chocolate, the whole nine. So the holiday seasons are here. The holiday season, fellas, is different. When you are a father and you have a kid and a family. The holiday season used to mean when you're a kid, it's all gifts and presents, Santa's coming, or I don't know, whatever you get for Hanukkah, however that works.
No school too, man.
Then no school. Then when you're in college, it means, you know, I'm going to go home and I'm going to get fresh cooked meals and I'm going to live for free, get a month off of school. And then even post-college and in your adult life, you maybe take some time off work and you just get into the spirit and you're going on holiday bar crawl, all that fun stuff. Well, for me, maybe I'll just speak for myself here because I'm the holidays, man. And fuck the holidays. I'm just going to say it. I don't want to be Scrooge. I'm not saying I don't like the holiday season. I am a big Christmas guy. I love Thanksgiving. But God damn, is it a lot harder when you got a kid and in-laws and family members to please.
Yeah, the actual holidays are good. It's the process of the holidays that absolutely
correct.
Sucks.
Correct.
Because you can't go to a grocery store. You can't go to any store. There's lines everywhere. Everybody's acting like they're the only one that's in a hurry. And everyone's in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants, it's supposed to be like the happiest time of the year. It's the asshole time of the year.
Everybody's cutting each other off in the parking lot.
Like, oh, God, everybody, I gotta go get these gifts. Like,
yep.
Insane fact. Fun fact. My wife's done with Christmas shopping now.
That's smart wild. Woman.
That's
she loves that list, man. She loves making
a
list.
I told you, dude. Like,
she's
we go
Santa Claus, bro. Checking it twice, man. She makes
there's
that list.
Two real big days on her calendar that she really wants to do stuff. Her birthday, the day after Christmas, because we go to the outlets and she goes to like the Kate Spade outlet and stuff like that, and just racks up on gifts for every single female in our family. And
she's doing Thanksgiving for Christmas for next
she's
season.
She's doing like she's like three quarters of the way done the day after Christmas. It's bananas.
And it's just getting colder. Everyone's like just grumpier because it's
daylight
you know,
savings, yeah. Dark, and everything. It should be the time everyone's happy and. You know, the perpetual hope and all that nonsense. And it just never really plays out that way. The thing about having a kid is all of a sudden everybody in your family cares about seeing that kid. You know, when you're newly married, you know, people want to see you for the holidays for sure. But now it's like, well, when am I going to see Shay? I'm like, I don't know, man. It's fucking hard to figure this all out. Like, it's a logistical
thing. Everybody
nightmare.
Wants you to bring them to them.
Which is, so yes. When we had the kid, I was like, first of all, she gave birth on December 12th. So it was like, we're not doing anything for Christmas. Like, forget it. We're going to be laid up. And for the most part, we were. But we ended up caving. And, like, shortly after Christmas, driving around and going to see everyone because they want you to come, but do you really want to host? It's like, all of it is hard. None of it's easy. My wife is the type, and it sounds similar to yours, Chaps, like, having someone over is not just like, oh, come on over. It's like a full-scale production.
Yes.
Everything's got to be clean. Everything's got to be produced. Everything's got the right food, the right look, the candles, the tablecloth, the blah, blah, blah. So it's almost harder to have people come to you.
And I feel like your life is going to get much, much more difficult in that regard.
I believe it.
Because when Shay was 15 days old, she's just laying there.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to worry about going to grandma's or grandpa's that usually have a million and 25 knickknacks lying everywhere around, choking
they're
houses.
They're not baby-proofed at all.
Yeah, yep. You have your own little routine. The kids have their routine.
And
there's
you have all your
sleeping
equipment.
Quarters. Like,
yeah, like when I'm at home, I'm like, this is my home turf. I got this crib over here. I got this toy over here. I got everything I need. When it's a away game,
your
I'm
diapers
like, oh,
are
no.
in the same spot. Your wipes yep. are in the same spot. And then you got to pack all that shit up. We talked about that before, but just bringing babies anywhere. So we got to the point where if you don't come see him,
you're
going to see him once a year. Like, and if that's okay with you, it's okay with us. That's totally fine.
Yeah, I mean, I myself love being around my family. This is.
But we live 1,000 miles away, too.
And I was going to say, that's the difference. This is a deeper conversation.
And I live 1,000 feet away from my family. Like,
yeah.
I can drive there in 30 seconds. I'm there. So we have three different situations.
I feel like I am in the worst spot because I am close enough to see these people. But, like,
how close?
Like, 1 hour, 45 minutes. So getting to and from those places is not easy, but it's not long enough to be like, yo, we're 1,000 miles away. If you want to come see us, you can come see us. I would imagine it's very easy to just roll down the block,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Stroller it.
Yeah.
Stroller, you know, maybe in the front seat. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Dad hack. We're only going down the block. You can just sit on my lap. It's okay. So I'm in the spot where it's like, we can't really say no, but to be honest, packing everything up is a real bitch.
Real bitch.
Like, and then so we have to see both my wife's father and her mother, so that's like an extra trip that goes on. And so like the past few Christmases, even before Shay, we were spending more time on the road to and from these places. It's like, all right, we're gonna do like a late lunch here, and we're gonna do like a cocktails here, and then a dinner here, and a dessert there. You know,
Steak City.
And it's just like. It was actually one specific, and I told this before on mail time. Again, before Shay, we were bringing the dog around because it was going to be like a 15-hour day, and we didn't have someone to watch the dog, and he gets car sick. He was throwing up, and he shook off, and of his spit and throw up went into my mouth, almost like your daughter style. And yeah. I was like, I'm like in the back seat. I'm like, we're never going anywhere for the holidays ever again. I was so Scrooged out that year. So, but now Shay's around, and it's like, well, I want to see my baby girl. And it's like, well, everybody does. Like, get in line, man. It's like there's only a couple hours in each of these days here to really make it all happen. It's like Santa Claus, man. I can't freeze time and go around the goddamn world.
And the New York difference for you guys, too. Like, that's another thing. Like, we talk about my daughter have a queen-size bed. Like, having a bunch of people in the same house up here seems like a lot more problematic than it would be, like, where I live.
I mean, we wanted to host, and, like, we just couldn't. So we had a tiny kitchen and only so much room to put these people,
and it's hard to host
Thanksgiving dinner.
That makes the stress level when you're cooking so much worse when you're in a crowded kitchen.
I gotta
warm this up. The whole house is hot.
Yeah, everybody shows up with their own plate, but it's like, well, I need to make my spinach dip for 15 minutes. Like,
can you put the oven on at 475? Like, you feel how hot it is? 475? Are you insane? You better put that on the grill.
The funniest thing about all this is how the kid is also like your get out of jail free card. I don't want to go out tonight. Oh, kid's sick. Kid's this. Kid's that. And then it flips on you. So then when you have to bring him around, it's like it really does balance the whole equation out.
Well, so I remember thinking when we had this baby, I was like, dude, not only do I have this beautiful baby girl, not only do I get the joys of being a father, but I've got the best built-in excuse of all time now. I hate plans. I never want to make plans. I love canceling plans. And now I have the ultimate reason. The baby's sick.
Yeah,
the baby's not up to it.
Everybody also thinks that you're bullshitting, too.
That's fine, because I can just plausible deniability. Nah, man, I don't know what you're talking about. But I found that we're almost doing more, because at the end of the day, we don't have cold black hearts, and we're not trying to, like, deprive any grandparents of seeing them, and We know that they can't travel for whatever reason, so we just end up doing it. And I'm like, man, this baby's actually making me travel more now. I can't believe it. What's going on? It's not easy.
It's not an easy balance. Like one of the, because we live 1,000 miles away from everybody, so whenever the parents actually do come in, and me and my wife get a date night, like not a date day, like we have, it's you're like, oh my god, like what are we gonna do? Like we don't even have to eat off the lunch menu. Like this is bizarre.
We can stay around for an after dinner cocktail. We can do whatever we want.
And then but you're so used to eating so fast, you find this like whenever you're eating with your kids around, you get so focused on making sure that they eat that you end up just like scarfing your food down like 5 minutes. And then you go to a restaurant and you go out to eat like just as an adult. And still now, like I'm done like 15 minutes before my friends, like if I actually do go out.
My parents, the first time we went out, it was like 20 minutes. Like we left the house and we're back home. Like they're like, what are you, like she didn't even like miss you guys yet. You know what I mean? They're like, get dessert, get this. And we're like, no, we're good. And you're just constantly in that mode that it's hard to just set your brain back, right?
And you don't want to be like imposing on anybody too. Like you don't want to feel like, oh, they're taking advantage. You know, you're just so worried about it. And the grandparents usually don't care like at all.
Right. They want to make that time last as long as possible. It's like, stay out an extra hour, stay out an extra day. We're good.
Right. Don't you guys feel like, and this is something I've noticed, is people are like, no, really, like leave the house. Like they don't want you watching them. They just want the alone time with the kids a lot of time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always like, you know, like I said, when you come over, like we feel like we got to clean and like present and host. And they're like, well, stop, because I don't even want to see you. We're not here for you. We're here for the kid.
You're wallpaper now at this
point. Yeah, which is like, I get it, but it's hard to just
and you forget
truly...
that your parents also had kids at some point, too.
I know
that your house is an immaculate.
Right, and I mean, I remember, you know, laying out the list of things. You're going to feed her and this and change her diaper this way and put this on her and da-da-da. And she was like, dude, done this before. I've been doing this for like 30-something years. I know how to raise a kid, you know? It gets dicey. It's like, you know, you got to like follow whatever rules you're going by as parents or whatever. But for the most part, you can just leave that kid with those grandparents and go have a good time. It's going
to
be okay.
It's gotten to the point, too, wherever I go to someone else's house who has a kid and they're saying, oh, I'm so sorry for mess. I'm like, listen, don't you disrespect me with this whole sorry about the mess. If you have a kid, you shouldn't worry about the mess in anyone's house, especially to someone else who has a kid.
Yeah,
it's just constant clutter. There's nothing you can do. Either that or your kid's not playing with toys and just being a kid.
Most people realize that there's a difference between being cluttered and being dirty.
Dirty, yes.
Yeah.
Dirty is a different story.
Right.
Don't
but it's
dirty.
Like when there's just like toys and shit all over the place. That's how it goes. That's the new normal. That's standard.
Our house
now
will be spotless. McCartney comes home from daycare.
Cooked.
And
whirlwind.
It's like, how did you even do this? Like, your hands are the size of nickels. Like, how did you even put this together?
Honestly, legit tornado.
The one from, remember
F5
Paperboy?
Tornado.
Paperboy had the little tornado that would go up the road, like it, but it wouldn't crush all the houses. Like, that's just a kid. It's just basically a 2-year-old.
Right.
With nickel hands.
McCartney has recently started with chores, and she'll go up. Sundays, she has to go up and clean up the upstairs living room, and she'll put everything away. And then she'll come downstairs. She'll be like, I'm done. Can I go play upstairs? And be like, yeah. And then you just hear it. It's like a shitstorm of toys, like, flying everywhere. I'm like, what are you banging on?
Is that even fun? You're just, like, dumping shit on the floor. It's not even a game.
And then you go up there, and she's like, oh, hell yeah. Did this mess.
That's my work. That's my handiwork.
It's going to be like this the next Sunday, too, Dad.
my kid always, they have, like, the little play food, you know, that, like, little cupcakes that look, you know, whatever. Yeah. And I'm always like, can we please just remove it? Because it's always, like, 35 different foods on the floor. My wife's like, she loves those. I'm
that's
like,
the thing.
But it's like, yeah, you're right. Like,
there's
I
a reason
can't just
why,
take it away from her.
There's a reason
why
it's all over the place is because that's the one thing she's picking out of like the 50,000 toys that you've gotten. I'm hoping to get to that point because we're still at the point where every toy and everything I've spent money on is sitting in the corner and she's just like reaching for every electrical cord she can find. Wants to just play with like the pieces of garbage, all the dog bones, everything that Duncan has she wants. I'm like, please just play with the toys.
Or their butts.
Or their butts or their food. I mean, the other day she
love playing with their butts.
Do they do the thing too? I don't know if your kids did this, but my kid did it and a friend's kid I saw did it. When they go towards like the outlets, they'll shake their head no, as if they know you're about to tell them no. And I heard that that's because the whole no shaking your head started because that's what kids did. They know no. And
interesting.
Yeah, so if you ever see that, like that's what I had heard. I mean, it's just parents telling war stories.
Right. It's an old wives' tale that's like spun into reality now. Speaking of war stories, we're going to get into some later from the Podfathers mailbox. If you got any stories, questions, whatever, you need to vent, go to kfcradio.com/askdad. Leave us a story. Tell us who you are, and we'll talk about it on air. So the first problem for me with the holidays is keeping everybody happy, bouncing around to all these places. The second problem for me is I still don't feel like an actual adult, and I certainly don't yet feel like a dad who is capable of hosting a true badass Thanksgiving or Christmas. Two years ago, we ordered catered food from Whole Foods, and we just drove over and we picked it up and we had a small turkey and all the sides were just ripped off the top plastic, throw it in the microwave, bingo, bango, bongo, we were good to go. Was it the best meal in the world? No, it wasn't. Did it feel great that I was completely outsourcing my Thanksgiving, like the most un-American thing ever? No, that didn't feel good either. It was really no dishes to do. There was no worry about cooking anything. It got the job done. But I definitely felt like I can't do this forever. I got to learn how to cook the turkey, carve the turkey, host the family, and present what's like an enjoyable Thanksgiving for everyone. Chaps, you've been in the game a lot longer than us. You're a veteran. You're an OG. Does it get better? Am I going to get better at this?
Absolutely. To give you a little illustration, the only thing, even though I had a kid before I met my wife, the only things I really cooked and cooked decently were spaghetti, chili, and like steaks. Typical dude stuff, really stereotypical dude stuff. But now I can cook anything. And you get to the point where if you really put in effort, cooking's not that hard, and it really helps, like, get out of the kitchen. Like, a big thing, cook your proteins outside. Like, if you're doing, like, a big shindig or whatever at your house, like, I smoke the turkey every year whenever we're doing it. I'll smoke the turkey or I'll smoke, like, a prime rib or something like that to take somewhere. And then my wife usually does, like, two or three sides, and then we're good to go. But carving a turkey, so simple. All you do.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I was like,
no,
don't it's you not. Give
I'm
me that.
Give you,
right.
I'm going to give you, show you. All you have to do, find the spine of the turkey, get a really sharp knife. That's the key. You got to have a sharp knife. That's where most people make their mistake. You go down the side, like you start with the point back by the thighs, and you come all the way up the breastbone and then just go down. And then right below the wings, you slice in, and that takes off the whole chunk of breast.
It sounds easy, man.
Slice it from there.
I'll
do a GoPro video, and I'll post it.
Bro, I can watch it on YouTube. I can see the animations. I know you're explaining it, and it is not a difficult thing to describe. It is a difficult thing to execute properly.
Oh yeah, it's not gonna. It's you're not gonna be good at it your very first time, but you get the hang of it. And once you do it right the first time, you start taking more pride in it because you're just like, oh, hell yeah. Because people are like, oh, you carved that bird up nice. And you're like, you're damn right I did. Son of a bitch. I'm coming here and expect it to be a hack.
What kind
job.
Of knife are you? Are you using like a regular knife or an electric? Because I have like an electric knife. And it's like.
Electric knife's okay. But if you want to do it really right, you go with just a regular butcher knife.
Big old butcher knife.
And you make sure it's like as sharp as you could possibly get it. And you just go into it, man.
I have, my aunt always carves the turkey. I guess a gender role reversal thing in our family. And
your uncle's the luckiest man on the planet.
Yeah, right? I would say that. And so, but like a couple years ago, she tapped me and she was like, you know, you're going to have to, she's like a young woman, but she was like, one day I'm going to be gone and you're going to have to do this. And I was like, the fuck? No, I'm not doing this. You just keep carving it. So I was tapped to like carry this torch and I'm like, nah, man, I'm not ready for that. But I tried it. I mean, I did it on my little Whole Foods turkey.
Practice on chickens.
And I
get
the little
rotisserie
chickens
and practice on those.
But it's still, it's almost like I'm like your daughter. It's like a hurricane. I got little nickel hands, and all of a sudden, I look down, and it's just like the skin is everywhere, the dark meat's everywhere. There's like shredded turkey all over the place.
And the biggest mistake people make turkey-wise is they try to carve it too fast because everybody like sees it on there. You know you're gonna have a bunch of little vultures with their little bird hands like coming to peck it. So you gotta just tell them, get the hell away from my turkey for 25-30 minutes after you pull it out of the oven.
See, I just don't know any of this stuff. I don't know any of this.
Otherwise, you're gonna have juice. Same thing with steaks. You don't pull a steak off the grill and immediately cut it, or you're gonna lose all the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
You wait 15-20 minutes, and then you're good because it's still gonna maintain its temperature. Pro tip.
I mean,
learned something
so
new
screwed.
Today already.
I already got anxiety for this week, this Thanksgiving. I'm just gonna like someone else cut this up for me. Jesus Christ!
But what you said about ordering stuff is the same. It's the same basic principle. If you're at home, if you can make something and it's gonna be good the next day, like a lot of the salads and things like that, or you can pre-make, like if you do green bean casserole, do that the day before. So then that's one thing that you can just throw in the oven, warm it up, and it's good. The more prep work that you do the day before or 2 days before for a big meal like that, Thanksgiving, the better off you're going to be, because you only want to have a couple things done. And fellas, if there's piles of dishes, don't walk by to watch the game. Do those damn dishes.
Do the dishes. Just sit there and scrub the plates, put them in the dishwasher, get the brownie points.
Yeah, and make
sure. Don't get in trouble.
Do big time prep. Dishwasher needs to be empty.
Totally empty.
The morning that you start.
Very, very available.
Yeah.
Clem, I know you you got to be a big Thanksgiving guy, right?
Huge Thanksgiving guy.
That's a shocker.
I was football, food, I mean, what's not to love? You know, that's the whole thing. And I'm thinking, as you're doing the dishes, once you're done, you go and you say to, like, the, you know, 16-year-old cousin or whatever on the couch, be like, you motherfucker. Enjoy it.
Yeah,
just enjoy
I know.
It now. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be the old uncle. You know what I mean?
100%. It's funny how quickly I've become that guy where I'm like Billy Madison, like, stay here as long as you can. Like, I remember my uncles making those lame jokes to me, and now I'm doing them as well. Like, time's a flat circle, man. You just become
guy. I love the process of cooking. Like, there's something about
I'm not even talking about specifically cooking. I'm just talking about, like, you know, when you got a kid running around and your wife is chirping at you and you got to deal with your in-laws and all that.
Right.
And then you're, you know, your cousin or whoever is just like sneaking a beer, watching football, enjoying himself. It's like, that's not going to last forever. But the cooking process, I mean, if you can enjoy it, hats off to you.
It's great because you get, like, when people really enjoy your food, it feels good. You know, like, it's a nice little compliment. You worked hard on it. You picked out different recipes and stuff like that, and then you make your own. And
I don't know if I'm ever going to get there. I mean, I didn't living in the city for so long. We didn't have a barbecue. We barely had room to cook. I've just been ordering out my entire life. I think it's passed me by,
to be honest.
I think
we talked about that on Mail Time when you said you didn't know how to start a fire or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't fucking... That's a different story. I can't, like, just start a fire, man. I'm not a goddamn Eagle Scout. Chaps sitting here rubbing sticks together with kindling and shit.
I was going to say, I think this whole cooking, non-cooking is a Texas, New York thing again. I think that I'm in the burbs, but I've had those small kitchens for years, and you just kind of, like, just let it wilt. And now that I'm there, I'm like, I don't want to deal with this. And then you're moving... Our oven isn't huge, so you're moving stuff in and out, and you're juggling, and... You're just trying to keep all your guests happy who are always have a smile on their face, and you know you'd do the same, but you know it's just like it's hot, it's crowded, dark as hell, and what's the DMA?
Yeah, it's dark and hell is hot, man.
And the kids are excited about the meal too because they see you like that you've been cooking all day and things like that, but then you don't eat until like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and they're like, what the hell's going on? I want to eat
it's all
lunch.
Sitting there, yep.
And I'm very, very hungry right now. No, you can't eat. I know that looks delicious. There's like many different pies and things all around.
No touching.
Get your hands off the bread. I told you before, get your hands off the
bread.
You're going
to eat the crescent rolls, and then you're not going to save any room for the turkey. It's just...
My kid's a carb addict. She's right out of daddy's, right out of the family tree, man. She just eat all her bread and just leave all the protein. Decent with veggies, but other than that, it's like a nightmare, man. It's
fun
scary.
Fun tip for the Thanksgiving, let them. On Thanksgiving, if they don't want to eat, like, the vegetables, who gives a shit? If they just want to eat a big old thing of macaroni and some bread, okay.
I'm probably going to
live by
that.
Don't fight with them on that.
That's probably going to be my mantra, like, forever. Thanksgiving, regular day, whatever, just eat and shut up and go to sleep.
Yeah.
For myself, too. Like, yeah. Chap said I could do it, babe. Chap said I could eat whatever I want. I don't have to eat your veggies.
I'm just doing pigs in a blanket.
Vitamin.
That's it.
Gummy vitamin and you'll be all set. Yeah.
I told you about that. I remember I said I ruined Thanksgiving for myself 2 years ago because I just ate, like, 35 pigs in a blanket. And I was just rolling on the floor like, oh. It's nothing worse than ruining Thanksgiving, right?
Because
you're looking forward to it. It's like the one meal you're really looking forward to all year, and then if you ruin it on appetizers, and I'm saying ruin in quotes here,
yeah, because
air quotes.
The appetizers are sometimes better.
Yeah, pigs in a blanket or the goat.
Mine is deviled eggs, and when my wife sees me reach for the deviled eggs, she gets irate.
She knows. Yeah.
She knows because she's going to feel the thunder in the bedroom later. Oh. I can. She'll see me. This one dude that comes over to all our fantasy football stuff, he makes amazing deviled eggs, and we'll bring like a tray of like 40, and I'll just be like picking them off one by one, and she'll be like, damn it, I told you not to do those. You're sleeping on the couch. You already know you're on the couch.
It's like Fuller in Home Alone. Go easy on the Pepsi.
That's when you know you've been married for a long time.
When it's just blatantly like, I don't want you farting around me. You're out of here, bro.
Like, can we have lasagna for Christmas Eve like we usually do?
No.
She's like, no, because you know what happens 2 days later when it's been sitting there, the sauce is settled and everything. Then you're going to make me sick. I'm getting sick thinking about it.
Shout out to all the moms and dads, though, who do all the cooking. And then when that meal is over in, like, 35 seconds because the vultures are so hungry and have been waiting and you've been cooking for, like, 24 hours and it's over in 24 minutes, that's got to be one of the worst feelings
no,
in the world.
No, dude, it's awesome. You don't want people to be like, oh, I can just take my time. I want people, if I make
hear
it,
you.
I want them doing multiple.
Devouring
plates,
it,
make
yeah.
it empty, dude, like, kick it out like that and be like, well, guys, sorry I made it so good. Hopefully you like some pecan pie.
I also, maybe this is just my house, but I would imagine it applies everywhere. Just tell whoever made the gravy that it's good. Because every year the gravy is a big deal in my house and people like agonize over it like it's the end of the world if it's not good gravy. And so I just lie every year and I'm like, oh, that was great. That was great. Make somebody's day, whoever made it.
Not a big gravy guy.
On Thanksgiving?
Yeah, because I smoked the turkey. Don't eat it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's another Texas thing. I don't even fucking understand what that means.
So many cultural differences.
Yeah, I smoked the turkey. I don't know.
The one thing I think a lot of parents can agree on, one of the things, is how much you, like, respect, like, or, like, you're like, damn, I don't know how my parents did it. And it starts with when you're in the hospital or just the 9 months of pregnancy and then yada, 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 and all the stuff they went through and the holidays and Thanksgiving. You're like, they made it a 10 out of 10
every single time.
Year. I'd be, like, skinny as hell if my parents didn't make Thanksgiving so goddamn good.
Yeah, but it's also just the vibe, too. It's like I just so fondly remember being home for Thanksgiving, especially when you came back from college or whatever it was. Even when you're older, it's like it's warm and fuzzy and yep. you're happy and it's cozy and you're watching what you want and everybody's happy. And at the time, you didn't realize that your parents were probably like so tired and probably at each other's throats and being like, I can't wait for this to be over sort of thing because it's so much stress for them. And you're just like, this is amazing. This is the best time of year. It's like now you're responsible for making it the best time of the year. That's hard. We're still at the stage in the game where
she can't really screw it up too
right,
bad. They don't
right.
know what's going on.
But I just want to make sure that when they're older that they have the same vibe, holiday vibe that I got where I was like, this is awesome. That's a lot of pressure. A
little bit of pay it forward for your boy
KFC.
Look at him.
Look at that. How about that? I'm caving in. The Grinch's heart grew 3 sizes that day.
That's the biggest thing, though, I feel, is that just as a parent, like, that's the thing that's going to drive me to maybe take the Uncle Chap's YouTube, you know, tutorial on how to cut a turkey and be like, I got to do this sooner or later for my kids, or just find a really good turkey I could buy.
Or maybe just like a designated turkey carver. Maybe I'll just have Chaps over for Thanksgiving. Maybe the Chaps family can fly in and yeah. you can carve my turkey.
Well, we already said we don't go anywhere for
that's
than
true.
1,000 miles. So.
That's right.
Guess we're going to Texas.
I guess I'm going to.
How is it in November? It's probably pretty nice.
I kind of
want
to smoke turkey.
Dude,
I
was thinking that the whole time. Like, you guys are talking about being cozy up. No, dude, it's still 80
it's
degrees
hot.
In Texas.
Yeah, that's so weird
my
to
wife
me.
Said it was 88 yesterday.
That's wild to me. I cannot imagine that.
So
you watch all these Christmas movies and everything in like sweltering heat,
yeah,
or AC is blasting.
I feel
that's
like
wild
I could,
to me.
I would be more like Christmassy spirit, dude, if I was here. But
yeah,
we have a projector screen in my garage, so we'll
watch
like movies and stuff like that. It's like a 15-foot screen in my garage.
Oh, sure, freaking movie theater in my house.
We try to watch a Christmas movie there, like on weekends, on Friday, Saturday night. We'll watch a Christmas movie together. And my wife would be like, well, let's have a fire. I'm like, I'm wearing shorts and a tank top. Like,
yeah, but she's right. You got to fire up a fire.
Oh,
we
do.
Yeah,
she asked me to do it.
Like,
what am I going to turn down the opportunity to make a fire? Nah, I'm not really interested. Like, I'm making a fire.
I would
I'm
be
good.
Sitting there drinking hot chocolate, even though it's 90 degrees. You'd be like, I'm so hot, but it's
or
the holidays. Yeah, whatever. You got to go with the hot drink, though. Even though it's 90, you just do it?
No, I don't. I'm a big cold drink guy. Even if I'm up here in January and it's 10 degrees outside, I'll still be an
iced coffee dude. Weirdos from Texas.
Chaps is an iced coffee guy. I like that. I like how you don't change. Doesn't wear sleeves outdoors when it's cold outside and rocks iced coffee.
Yeah, we
all
talked
time.
About that last night. Like yeah. I'm like a Green Bay Packer dude. Like I'm going short sleeves all
the
time.
You're ridiculous.
It's a hard move.
But
I look good in sweaters, so I should do sweaters more. And people treat me different when I'm wearing sweaters because all my tattoos and stuff are covered.
Right,
up.
I
so
can imagine
like, oh,
that.
Well, he seems nice. He just might have been homeless for a little while. With his beard.
He just needs a good like bath and a haircut. That's all.
Yeah. Come here, honey. Why don't you go to my hotel and you can have some of my free lotions and hand creams.
Damn, man. I got to get Chaps. We got to have like a Chaps New York Christmas one year.
Yeah, dude. The whole thing. I mean, Thanksgiving to me, like I said, is the kickoff of like that Christmas season. If I was in the sweltering heat of Texas, I don't know if it would feel the same way.
Probably not.
I mean, and you were always down south?
No, I lived in Virginia. So Virginia, we'd have some snow
but
and things.
What about your wife?
No. Mississippi gets cool, like northern Mississippi every now and then. And then, but Florida as well. We're both from the same hometown.
Very weird. I can't imagine that. I need my seasons, man. Yeah. I knock New York and I hate it, but even again, thinking of the kids, like,
And the kids look adorable in sweaters and jackets and all bundled up.
Are your kids ever going to play in the snow, man?
My older one has a lot. She has family in Michigan that she'll go see, so she goes up and sees some snow.
Hey, you got to, like, make a snowman with them and stuff.
But McCartney, she's never seen snow.
It's wild.
You know, I can't even lie, though, Kev. Like, I'm so done with this place.
So
I
want
to get outside. If Barstool moved to L.A., I could have at least been like, you know what? I heard nothing but bad things about this place, but at least it'll be warm every day.
Yeah, I mean, to tie it back to the family thing, if I didn't have family, which obviously would be terrible, but I would be out. I'd go be like a bartender in the Bahamas. You know what I mean? But they're all here in the cold weather, the four seasons, like 2.5 seasons now, really.
Yeah.
But that's just life to me. I can't even imagine Shay growing up any other way, but I'm sure it's, you know, McCartney would be the total opposite.
Yep.
I love my family. But like you said, if they were gone, I'd be out.
Yeah,
I blame
man.
Them every single day from, like, you know, Thanksgiving to basically, like, the end of March Madness. It's like, you sons of bitches.
Which is,
trap me
here. Let's be honest, this is a natural thing to think about, too. And I've seen some people tweeting it, and there's a couple submissions on the mailbox. Like, it depends on how serious some of these people are, but they're like, how often do you think about just, like, disappearing and leaving your family? I'm like, I don't really think about that. I don't think about just, like, picking up and,
like,
leaving them.
Like,
but
legit, never.
But I do think there is it's a very natural inclination to be like, if I didn't have a family, what would I be doing? And, like, it's okay to admit that, like, it would probably be awesome to, like, be living completely carefree in the Bahamas. You know, like, that is a natural thought that's going to go through your head. At the end of the day, you probably should come back to, like, no. Like I just said, like, I love being around my family, even though it's cold and hard and a pain sometimes. If you don't come back to that feeling, you've probably got something you need to address.
It's the Marty McFly from Knocked Up thing. That moment when Doc in his DeLorean, you know, the Doc Brown moment.
Yep, yep.
It's like that. You leave it at that, though. At least I like that's like hypothetically speaking, what would it be like? But I mean, you listen to a bedtime story, people.
Right,
we love
exactly,
our goddamn kids.
Exactly.
Come on.
Exactly. That's my point. Is that there should always be something that kind of brings you back to that. We're gonna get into a new segment that we call here at Podfathers. We call Not the Father. Where everybody's got issues with other people trying to give them advice, tell them how to raise their kids, butting into their business, and it's one of those times where you just got to step up and give them the Maury Povich. You are not the father. It's brought to you by DraftKings.com. DraftKings is America's favorite one-week fantasy site. Thanksgiving, football, it goes together. Turkey and football go together like Donald Trump and America, man. It's the best place, the best time to watch football, eat some turkey, and make that money. DraftKings.com, use the promo code PODFATHERS. You're going to get to play for free in your first deposit this weekend. Like I said, we got all the classic Thanksgiving games going and big pots, big money for you to win. And that way you can afford Christmas gifts for your kids. Because otherwise, you can't. Because you're broke. Because you have a kid. And you pay for daycare and whatever else. And the diapers and the food. And you're broke. So, DraftKings.com is going to help raise America's children with their big prizes. Once again, it's DraftKings.com. Promo code PODFATHERS to play for free in this weekend's Thanksgiving Challenge. You are not the father. Clem, let's start it up with you, man.
So, yeah. So, like we mentioned earlier, getting colder out, all that stuff. When people tell you that your daughter's not wearing enough layers, they're not bundled, they're not wearing socks, the right socks, not, you know, they need to be wearing the thick socks, the ones with the grippies on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
The kid's gonna be fine without the grippies. And then if, God forbid, she falls for something not related to grippies, all the eyes go on you, and it drives me nuts.
Let me dress my own kid, because you are not the father. The dressing, I think, is... I mean, I get it from both grandmas all the time, and both grandmas are queens of talking to the baby, to the parents through the baby.
Mm, yes.
Oh, your daddy put you in short sleeves today. Okay, that's interesting. I'm like, you are not the father.
And going off of that, does your wife or either your wives, do they say, can you get us the milk? And I'm like, yo, I'm getting the baby the milk. I love you. I love you with all my heart. But you ain't drinking, unless you're drinking that milk, which is a whole other question.
This is your version of we when they're pregnant.
Yes, yes.
We are not pregnant. I'm not getting you that. I've never heard that one, though.
I've never heard that either.
Never had it
either. You're mad that you're bringing that milk to your wife?
I'm not mad I'm bringing it to her. I feel like she's kind of lumping herself in.
Yeah.
Like, listen, well, that number one on the toast.
Clem's going to be in trouble.
I'll say, why are you always using us? And it's like whenever she wants me to, you know, move pronto, it's
right.
Like us. But when she'll say her when it's like, you know, no rush or anything.
Got
like
it.
That.
You're just like exploiting the baby.
Yeah, it's like I already know it's 2-1 in the house. Don't make it official with your language here.
Chaps, you are not the father.
When you go to the beach or something like that, which you could do in December where I live. So if you're going to the beach and somebody tells you, make sure you put sunscreen on the kid. It's like, my kids have fucking red hair. My beard is red.
Look at me.
Like, I am the king of swim shirts. Like, I wanted to start a swim shirt movement. Don't tell me about sunscreen. I know. I live sunscreen. I invented sunscreen. You play in it. I was born in it. I bathe in a bathtub of it. I've got the spray kind, the tube kind, the stick kind, any kind you want. Don't tell me about sunscreen. I know the sunscreen. You're not the father. I'm the father. None of these babies are having sunburns ever on my watch.
Not only am I the father, I am the translucent father. Okay,
yeah.
I got this on lock.
They didn't think. Caleb was like, when we went to the Alabama game, Caleb looked at me like halfway through the first quarter. He's like, Jesus, dude, you're sunburned. I was like, I know. He's like,
yeah.
We've been in the stadium for like 25 minutes. I was like,
that's all it takes.
Sun shirts are not a game. I'm gonna get after Brett. We're hooking us up in the sun side. You need to look that up on Views of My Seat.
You're right, man.
My You Are Not the Father is related to daycare. Next week's episode, we're going to do a deep dive into daycare versus nanny versus being a stay-at-home parent. Whatever you're doing to take care of your baby during the day. So I figured we'd kick it off this week with a little You Are Not the Father. I get that I'm turning my kid over to the people at daycare. I get that they're a big part of Shay's life. They're going to have input, and we're going to have a dialogue and communication. But that being said, you are not the father. You are the receptionist at daycare. You are the girl who helps at daycare. You know, some of the girls who actually really take care of Shay, I almost treat like family in a way.
Yep.
The receptionist, when I walk in and she's like, oh, did you, like, you should give Shay some Tylenol because I think she's teething because she was like a real handful yesterday. I'm like, oh, really? Maybe it's that she's 11 months old and kids are fucking tough to deal with sometimes. So why don't you shut the fuck up? Stop telling me what I need to give to my daughter. Stop telling me I need to give my daughter drugs. Oh, I think you need to bring more food. Really? Because she eats like 7 or 8 times a day and we're giving her plenty of food. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think my daughter doesn't like you. I think my daughter doesn't like being around you, and I don't think she likes when you hold her, and so I don't think it has anything to do with Tylenol or food.
Like, maybe she doesn't like your stupid little haircut.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe she doesn't like your face. Maybe she doesn't like your face. How about that?
She's hungry, so is your face.
So you are not the father. Don't tell me what to do with my daughter. Next week, we're going to talk all about that, all the different ways you got to take care of your kids. I could talk for eternity on daycare, how expensive it is, how good it is in some ways, how bad it is in other ways. There's a lot to talk about, so we're going to get into that next week, but we will wrap up today with some emails from the Podfather's mailbox and, as always, our bedtime stories. Let's get into it. Chaps, this one works perfect for you. This comes from Sarah. Chaps, we are a military family from Massachusetts and stationed in Arkansas. Any advice on how to deal with the distance from family when you have babies? This kind of ties in perfectly with 1,000 miles. She says, he has been in for 6 years, and it was fine when it was just us, but now we have a 1-year-old and another one on the way. Oops. And the distance from the family and the support system is way more difficult. I find myself angry and jealous at friends back home who can just drop their kid off with their grandparents and get dinner. So this is exactly everything you talked about today.
Yeah.
Some people don't have that luxury. Talk to your girl, Sarah.
It is a legitimate struggle, and honestly, it's not something that's going to go away. It's
unfortunately
because we're there. We've basically settled down in Texas, and it's going to be where we're going to be for a while. And you just have to realize that your family there is your immediate family, and like do everything you can to make your immediate family happen. Extend those invites for them to come and visit you, or if you want to go. And a big problem with the travel during that time is expensive, and military families aren't known to be making a ton of money anyway. Sure. So the traveling part can be difficult. But my suggestion would be to reach out to your unit, your husband's unit, or if you're the one that's active duty, your unit is going to have different types of events that you can go to. Take advantage of those because there's going to be a lot. Like, that's what we do. We have a group of two families, sometimes three families, that really get together and we have our own little thing.
Own little family.
Yeah, my
right?
wife, because she's so organized, puts out a she puts out a Google shareable little data sheet and, like, who's going to make this, who's going to make that. And then we all show up at one of our houses and we have Thanksgiving together. And it's really been nice, like, to have that element of friends that are kind of family that are that close. But the military distance is always going to be a problem until you get out or you get retired. And if you settle down where you're at, it's going to be an issue.
You can't replace family. No one's going to say that, you know, your close friends or people you're stationed with are going to replace mom and dad and aunts and uncles. But you make the best with what you can. And to be honest, make the best of it. See the silver lining. It's not your mom and dad. It's not your aunt and uncle. So sometimes those people that can cause stress, well, now you're just with some buddies and their wives and their kids, and it's less pressure. It's less stress. You're just kind of hanging out and enjoying yourself. So make, you know, there obviously you wish you were close to everybody, but if you're not, enjoy what you do have because it has its own merit.
And if your family, all of them lives really close except for you and your military family, and the travel cost is a lot around traditional holidays, talk to your family and see if they want to move it up a week or two. Like, hey, let's celebrate our Christmas on the 10th of December or mm-hmm. wherever, and just do it because that's the point of it. It doesn't have to be on the fourth Thursday of November. Pick a different time where it's more cost available for you to have a big dinner with your family.
Just because it's not on the 25th doesn't mean it's not Christmas. There's not yeah. snow in some yeah. places. Like, there's snow in other places.
We have a mixed dynamic family with my daughter, with her biological mother, and then her mom that she lives with every day. So we have to do that type of thing for Christmas. Every other year she leaves and she's gone for Christmas. So we either have our Christmas the day before she leaves or the day that she comes back. And that's just the way that you have to do things. And a day on a calendar doesn't make a holiday. It's the people that you're with and what you're doing.
Right.
And I honestly think it's definitely not a suitable replacement, but just the technology, at least FaceTime.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's come so far since we were young, you know, and it's, you know, even when I'm gone for like a week or whatever and I FaceTime, it doesn't feel like I'm with, even for the over, if I stay overnight in the city or whatever, but it's better than it used to be. And it's at least something until you get those moments together, you know?
Yep.
This one comes from Mike. We've kind of talked about this a little bit last week. Say it's your turn for a feeding. It's 3 a.m. It's a full hour to feed, burp, change, get back to sleep. You crawl back into bed and you hear that dreaded noise, a cry. At what point is your job done? Is there a grace period? Or is it like Jenga? Once you walk away, you're home free. We kind of touched upon this last week or the week before. I can't remember. You know, early on, a lot of feedings going on. Early, I think, you know, that's the one place you really can excel as a dad if you can help out at night and maybe feed from a bottle if you're not doing breastfeeding. You kind of carry that load. I think that's a good time for you to step up as a dad. That being said, as, you know, things go on a little bit longer and it's everybody sharing the load at night, I think I kind of rock with this Jenga rule. Like, if I get her down, I, like, rub her back, get her to sleep, and then I'm walking back from the nursery to the bed. If I can get into bed, I feel like I've crossed the border into Mexico and I'm no longer, you no longer have jurisdiction over me. If my head hits the pillow and she wakes back up, I'm tagging you in. That's like, you got to go back there. Probably not smart, probably not correct, but that's kind of the rule that I live by.
I think you nailed that with not smart or correct.
Agreed. I was going to say, once you go back into dreamland and you're deep into dreamland and you wake up and you don't know what's going on, then you can start debating. But I always say, keep one of us fresh. So if I'm already like up or kind of awake or whatever, or like I literally, my head hits the pillow, but I'm still awake, back in. You didn't do a good enough job.
See,
the first time.
I just disagree because I know how demoralizing that is when that happens, that I will jump out and tag in if it happens to her. So I want someone to do the same for me. Gotcha. Because it sucks when you think you finally got it done and you
and
get
lot,
back.
And a lot of the things that we talk about, too, is in perfect world. Like what we actually say, like me and Clem just now, like what we say, what we would do or should do.
Yeah, you sons of bitches. You sons of bitches are always leaving me out to dry over here.
Yeah, like I... try to make.
I like, speak the truth on this show.
I'm speaking in like platitudes and like a utopia world, like what you should do. Like
I'm playing Jenga. I'm playing real life.
Have I been the biggest asshole dad ever? Yeah, sure. I mean, ask my wife. She can come on and tell you about it.
You know what? Maybe I'm gonna have to do that. Mrs. Chaps is gonna come on here one day and tell me the real.
No, all three wives are gonna come in and they're just basically like poke a hole in one of our stories that we've ever had. They're like these
wrong,
guys are
wrong, wrong, lied, exaggerated, idiot. Definitely not.
Yeah.
We'll do one more email and then get into our bedtime stories.
Let me just say this though. One trick I have for dads, I don't know if we talked about it on the show. I think we talked about it off air. If you're up late watching the game or whatever, where a lot of guys I think stay up later than their wives for because of jobs. If you're up at 12 o'clock at night and you're still amped from watching the Mets or the baseball, football, whatever, just go in and just rack up those hours when the baby wakes up at that time.
Oh,
enough,
definitely.
Because those are easy. You're up. Even though you want to just go to sleep for whatever, especially if she's been out for a few hours, just go in and just suck it up and take. That's like your way of kind of getting her back for all those late nights that, she's like, listen, you don't have to breastfeed. This is your way of getting back because you're up for sports or whatever, man.
Correct, but I'm going to hit you guys more with even more realness.
Don't you try to get on their side now before they come in to record the
episode. No. I'm going to hit you with even more realness because when you do that, you also got to get credit for that. Like, sometimes my wife will be asleep for a while, and I'm still up, and I'm taking care of my baby, and sometimes I want to be like, yo, I was up like 4 or 5 times before you even realized that the baby was up.
If you want credit, call those fucking cookie companies that you're always talking about now.
Insomnia. Shout out to Insomnia Cookies.
Order for yourself. Credit. Man, you're going to get an earful for that one.
You need to let them know sometimes how much you did while you were snoozing for an extra like 4 hours because you went to sleep at like 8 o'clock. I think that's fair because if it's flipped, your wife would let you know.
You better have a really good story time or you're going to be in big trouble, mister.
Bro, I'm in big trouble all the fucking time.
You wonder how he listens to Doghouse all the time. He likes it. You've grown to love the Doghouse now.
You enjoy it. Much like Chaps and Sunscreen, you get sent to the Doghouse. I was born in it. I live in it, okay? I don't like it. I just accept it as
she's
going
to hear what you hate and just have more shit for you to pack this holiday season. She's going to be like, oh, you thought this was bad. We need to bring this,
right,
too.
We're going
to
bring the pack and play and the this and the that. Why? Because I said so. It up.
We might stop at the beach, too. Bring all the beach shit.
It's the winter. I said we're going to the beach.
Okay.
Let's wrap it up with some bedtime stories where I got to make up a lot of ground. I got to go last so I can think about it so I can come and bring the noise. Chapsy, start with you.
All right, so we've been watching, like we talked about, how Kevin's daughter Shay really likes Lion King. My daughter has been on a huge, like huge Annie kick, like the one with the Jay-Z version, the new version. So we are going out to eat, and McCartney is a god-awful, terrible eater. Like the worst eater that you can imagine as a child, that's her. If it's not macaroni, if it's not chicken nuggets, or if it's not hot dogs, she's not having it. She doesn't want it. It's going to take her like 45 minutes to get through her 15 bites that it probably is for her to eat dinner. Well, we are going to this place, and we walk in, and she sees this buffet-style, not really buffet, but like cafeteria-style food, and the first thing that they put out is this huge bowl of macaroni.
Okay.
And so, like, I pick her up so she can look at all the food, and she starts going, I think I'm going to like it here. Yes, yes. I think I'm going to like it here. It just starts going into the whole song. And I was like, are you singing this about Annie, about the macaroni? And she's like, yeah.
It's fun to see them, like, I mean, this is going to sound stupid because you're probably very used to this by now, but me having, like, such a small baby that is not yet capable of everything, but when you can see them start to put things together, and it's like, oh, that reminds me of this movie, and I can start singing, and it's like cool to see them develop like that.
Her sense of humor is huge. Like, it's ridiculous how
she gets it from her mom.
She's very funny from her mom, definitely.
What do you got for me, Clem? Bedtime stories.
So kind of going off of the whole Thanksgiving theme we were talking about earlier, I don't know if this is just maybe because she got the interest from me or just because I was always watching sports when she was around, but kid loves sports, loves throwing the ball around, loves jumping around, all that kind of stuff. She now, one of the first gestures she learned was touchdown, and she does the whole hands in the air.
That's awesome.
And you're just like, yes, like you know, I when you have kids, I feel you just want them to be happy. Beforehand, you're like, oh, I want either a boy or I want this my kid to like this and like what I like. I don't really care. If she happens to be the girl who likes sports, who I think we can all agree, the girl that actually knows and likes sports are awesome, right?
Yeah.
As are the ones who don't, for all the other girls out there. I don't
disclaimer.
Wanna, yeah, exactly. Don't want to get dig myself into any more trouble right now that I've already gotten into. But so now she does, when we do touchdown, she would do the touchdown and yell touchdown. Now she's saying she learned go Giants. And then she also said Poppy, who is her my wife's dad, her grandpa. And he's, oh,
shout
he goes
out
like,
to Poppy.
Shout out to Poppy. About 6 Giants games a year he goes to. And she now, so I wish she associated Giants with dad, but she associates with Poppy, which is just as good. So touchdown, Poppy. It's awesome, man. It's awesome.
I have a weird bedtime story. And I want to explain it because I think that's kind of the point of bedtime stories too. A lot of these things are like, you know, generic cool moments. I don't want to say generic, but things that everybody hopefully goes through. And but sometimes they're weird, unique things to you and your family. And sometimes it's things that maybe somebody else wouldn't think of as a good event. But we were hanging out at my mother-in-law's house once, and Shay has been. She doesn't have, like, the best immune system. She's kind of, like, grubby sometimes. She's always, like, coughing, you know, whatever. And she sneezed 9 times in a row. And now that does not sound like a good thing that your baby sneezed 9 times in a row. But it was, like, a big sneeze. I actually find sneezing funny when they're little. They're just like, so I laugh at them. It's like a dog, you know. It's, like, it's funny.
Same exact faces, too.
Right. And so I always kind of laughed at the sneezes. And then, you know, there was 2 and a 3rd. And I was like, wow, like, somebody's really sneezing. And we hit, like, 4, and I was like, whoa, like, holy cow, Shay. And she did 5, and she looked up and was, like, smiling, like, how about that one? And I was like, do it, go. It was, like, 6, 7. I was like, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to get a little scared here. I'm like, hang on. And then it was, like, it got fun again. It was 8th and 9th, and she was, like, looking around the room, like, she could tell she was, like, performing. She was like, oh, I'm sneezing, 8, 9.
Who wants a sneeze from the rafters?
Yeah. It was Oprah. You get a sneeze. And we were all laughing. And I think, I'm probably sure my mother-in-law was, like, freaking out at that point. Like, oh, my God, what's wrong with the baby?
What do 9 sneezes mean? Google.com.
Exactly,
like
WebMD. Yeah. But it was a very funny, probably a good dad bedtime story. I think I'm sure all the women were freaking out. But I was like dapping up with Shay, like, yo. That's impressive. I'm going to tell that story forever.
Sneezing,
like, if I ever sneezed 9 times in a row, I'd be like, hey, what's up, man? I'm Kevin. Nice to meet you. One time I sneezed 9 times in a row. Like, that you did that when you were like 6 months old, Jay. So that's my bedtime story for the day. That is the Thanksgiving episode of Podfathers. We'll be talking a lot about the holidays as we continue on through the winter. Christmas coming up. Everybody enjoy the Thanksgiving. Carve your turkeys, smoke your turkeys.
Buy your turkeys carved already.
Hire someone to come carve it up for you. Enjoy your time with your kids, your wife, your husband, your significant other, all your children. It's these are the holidays. These are the moments why you have families and why you have kids and why where I feel like it all kind of pays off. A lot of the stress and a lot of the struggle for those family moments on something like Thanksgiving, you kind of say, ah, it was all worth it. So enjoy it. The Podfathers will catch you next week.